Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. It was a moment of just sheer terror. I had transferred money from my bank account to my savings account, and of course, there was a delay, and then I needed to transfer the money back right away, and I was stuck. The money wasn't with me, it wasn't in savings, and I completely panicked. I lost my cool for sure. Have you ever had a moment like this?
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Would it blow your mind if I told you that since the financial crisis, there is around $2.1 trillion sitting in checking accounts, earning nothing? Zero, zilch, no interest. I think that we are all somewhat afraid of moments like I mentioned in the opening, letting go of our cash only to need it right away. And then we've got to wait a few days in order to get it back. And there's those moments of panic. I think it's that. And then also there's a comfort in seeing a large bank account balance, right? I mean, you agree with me that that is something we are excited to see, but honestly, that just means you aren't letting your money work for you. And we grow up thinking that we need to have a lot of money left at the end of the month, which of course is a great situation to be in. But then where's that money going? What is it doing for you? It should go to pay off debt. It should go to investing. It should go to in retirement. It should go to saving for all of your other goals. Well, today's guest, Gil, is the co-founder and CEO of Astra, this really cool mobile app that helps you transfer money back and forth between all your accounts and helps you automate your savings. So really, there wouldn't be any good excuses not to save your money. But I know there's so many apps. Do you really need another one? I'm right there with you. But I have to say, I'm pretty intrigued. You know, when we were setting up the interview, you sent me over some interesting information. I kind of wanted to just jump right into it. There's a study that you sent over from J.D. Power that found that millennial satisfaction with large banks is on par with the satisfaction of smaller banks, which I found really interesting. And then also you said that millennials are not urgently seeking to replace their checking accounts, but they are willing to sign up for additional financial services. And I think that's so interesting. I'd like to dig into that a little bit. You know, why do you think millennials are hesitant about making a change in the banks, even if maybe they're unhappy with them?
Totally. Well, I think that I find these statistics just fascinating as well. And at Astro, we've been working on this general problem for a few years now, and it just gets better and better over time as we find more and more of this information and we kind of see trends. And so I think my direct answer would be that I'd like to place it in the larger context of where we are with financial technology and where things have gone basically over the last 10 years. So if you think back to, you know, 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, we've seen multiple waves of financial technology come to market, each time offering the consumer more and more value. So if you think back 20 years ago, we went to one bank, and that's where we got all of our banking products, from checking accounts to mortgages to credit cards. And if you track forward, right, that's been commonly referred to as the unbundling of banks. So today, you might have a credit card with one company, you have your checking account with, let's say, Chase, or an upstart bank like Chime. And that's becoming more and more atomized as time goes on, because more and more new financial services are cropping up that are offering some unique value that consumers are catching on to. And they see that they want that, but they also still want what they have in the kind of reliability or kind of set of features that come along with the more traditional banks.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. And just even based off what you said and financial technology, and it feels like, I mean, there's so many apps that come on the market every day. And, you know, we talked about banking's getting potentially a little bit more complicated, especially for millennials. But I think also finances are in general, like there's a lot of things that are supposed to make things easier. And I think a lot of feedback I get from listeners is they kind of feel in a state of like, oh my gosh, you know, what do I choose? Who do I choose? And that can really lead them to this, like, you know, almost the state where they don't do anything. Do you find that as well?
100%. It's pretty, sometimes we don't think about it. But a recent study also, from Plaid showed that the average consumer in the US has 15 connections to their primary checking account. So Wow. When you have just, you know, we talk about things technically in terms of like, you know, an individual's financial graph, right? You've got your checking account at the center. That's where you get paid. You've got all these different things connected to it, maybe a high yield savings with someone like Marcus, your credit cards, you've got Chase Sapphire or whatever, and all the other services that you've connected to your account, from bills to your Spotify subscription, right? So as that number of connections increases, it's even more complex, right? And as, again, going back to the last question, the more options you have, you sign up for something new, it just increases in complexity. And so the complexity changes at an exponential rate, even though the number of accounts might change at a linear rate, because there's more connections to facilitate across everything. So what we see our users do, or you know, before they started to use Astra, is if they're lucky enough to have some disposable income, they might pay a financial advisor maybe $1,000 a year to help them manage moving their money between places. Or if you're not, you're basically left to backfill that gap with some combination of rules of thumb that you keep, a certain amount of money in your checking account, budgeting software, or your own spreadsheets. So you're left to kind of systematize it on your own. And it's really a big problem to kind of dive into. And so a lot of people do just default to, you know, it's too much for me to handle. I'm just going to focus on this week to week, make sure I have enough money in my checking account.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's our behavior, right? I mean, it's, there's so many different arguments. I find this interesting because I do this all day, every day, but there's so many arguments that having access to more financial technology, more apps, whatever it may be, more blog posts, more articles, that actually isn't doing anything for helping people learn how to do their money better because it isn't actually changing behavior. So I find it really interesting because, of course, I can argue both ways on the spectrum there. But, you know, is there any way that we can work to maybe change some of our behavior with apps? Or is there a way we can, I know you're working at Astra to do this, but is there a way that we can simplify this process so we don't get in that state of just like a constant confusion?
Totally. I mean, that's simplifying it is core, you know, your personal finances, that's core to our mission. We want your financial life to run more like it's on autopilot, accommodating the dynamics of your individual situation and the things that change month to month in your financial life. I think that you're exactly right. There are two sides of the coin, right? There's a behavioral aspect where we need to find ways to encourage ourselves to act, to basically just decide to do something in the first place. At the same time, we should also have technology that makes that a lot easier. You know, like take this out of the context of finance and let's talk about email or something, right? With email, Gmail doesn't expect you to know all of the ins and outs of what's happening behind the scenes. They just make it really easy for you to send a message to your mom or your business partner or whatever, right? And then now they're even doing things like, you know, giving you autofill prompts to finish your sentence, right? To make it faster and easier to take that load off of you and deal with it with software. So I totally agree with you. I think there's two sides of it. There has to be a way to engage your finances that's you know, positive and not like scary. And then there also needs to be things that on the other side that make it just super easy for you to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me a little bit more about Astra and you know how you're helping us make our financial lives easier.
Yeah, sure. So with Astra, we help everyday people manage their finances by automating bank transfers. What that does is that means that you can get more of your money into savings and you get to spend less time managing your finances. So we help you get the funds into something like a high yield savings account when you don't need it, but when you do, get it back into your checking account. So basically we're increasing the liquidity of your cash on hand by facilitating its movement from point A to point B.
I love it. So much like the example you just gave with email, like you're making things work for us in a really simplified and easy way. Because I know sometimes when I'm transferring things all around, I'm like, wait, what am I sending where? When am I sending it? And it just can get like utter confusion. So I'd love to know, like, where did this idea come from? Have you always been interested in personal finance? Did you have like an aha moment?
Yeah, for sure. So, My side of the story for the origins of our company go back about 10 years. I started a company in New York. We were doing a lot of kind of contract work. So it was services where we were developing software for other creative organizations. And it was a lot of fun, but we didn't have access to outside investments. It didn't really make sense that way. We were coming off the financial crisis, so there wasn't a lot of financial products available to small companies like ours. So we ended up building our own software internally to do cash flow forecasting, you know, to manage net 30, net 90, and all the different things that would happen to a business over time. But the key was we could look ahead with our financial model and see, you know, could we hire one more person? Do we need to double down on research on this initiative or whatever it would be? So basically took the financial model. Then I started applying for myself and a couple of other people and realized how empowering that was to actually have some tool that, again, filled that gap between things like accounting software and the things that help you move money around, like, let's say, Venmo. So that's the kind of origins. And we've been working on this now officially for almost 3 years, my co-founder and I. And it's amazing how it's both the same and evolved significantly based on what we've heard from our users.
Yeah, I can imagine. Are there any like interesting statistics that you found developing this that, you know, one of the things I know that Astra does is roundups, which I know is a popular sort of feature with a lot of apps. But have you found any interesting information? Are millennials saving less than other generations, more than other generations? Are there any interesting facts about that?
I think that, well, for us, the most interesting facts, there's two. One is that because we're doing a lot of automation for you, we expect that in our mobile app, you can set it and forget it, right? Whether it's roundups or something right. that's more advanced. So you don't, and we send you push notifications, and you can set it to SMS so you can get a text, you know, on your balances and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't require you to be in the app, but we are seeing, especially in a millennial demographic, that once you sign up, verify your profile and send one transfer or set up one roundup rule, you're going to come back to the app almost weekly. So back to the behavioral, and we were expecting like maybe once a month. So wow. coming back to the behavioral side of things, it's interesting when there are empowering tools, our hypothesis and what we're starting to see trend-wise is that it makes you more likely to come back and be proactive with managing your finances. The other thing that's really interesting is that the three top banks that are connected to our platform are Chase, Bank of America, and Chime. So you've got two of the big banks, and you've got this upstart bank. And then we have a whole long tail of more local or kind of employer-based credit unions. And so you see that someone maybe is connecting a Chime checking account, but they've also got Space Coast Federal Credit Union, right? And they're managing checking accounts and savings accounts across both those institutions. So the thing that I'm taking away from that is that a lot of people want to keep their federal credit union wherever it is, and they want to just kind of give it superpowers or supplement it with another financial service like Chime. And that's really cool because with whether you're with Chime or you're with Space Coast Federal Credit Union or you know whatever, you can basically level up the features in your app, and you can add roundups to Space Coast. You can add roundups to Chime or any of the other 12,000 financial institutions in the U.S.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied. Or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web. And in the process, helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. We've got an Ask Shauna today, and this one comes from Damien. And Damien says, "Hey, Shauna, thanks so much for creating the Millennial Money podcast. I love listening every Tuesday and Friday, and you put a smile on my face. Plus, I feel like I'm actually learning something, which I know is quite the objective of what you're doing. So just wanted to let you know that it's actually working. So I have a question about this whole budgeting thing. I really don't know how I feel about budgeting. I understand how important budgeting is to my overall finances, but I have to be honest, I slip a lot of months and I forget to watch where my money's going and I forget all the rules around budgeting, and then it just feels so overwhelming that I don't want to budget. So I want to ask you, how should I be thinking about budgeting? Is there an easy way for me to figure this out? Thanks so much for all your help and all your advice. I really appreciate it. Damien, I know it's the big bad B word, right? We haven't brought it up on the podcast in quite a while. So I think your question is quite timely. And budgeting is something that we all have this love-hate relationship with, every single one of us, because I think intuitively we know that we should have some form of a budget. Even if it's a loose creation of a budget, I think we all understand why we need to have a budget. But then there's this big disconnect between, okay, we might inherently know that, but we're not actually doing it. And I think that a lot of that disconnect is really the mental space around money, thinking that if you create this document and it says you're only supposed to spend so much money on eating out or all of the things that you like to do, and you go over budget, either you're doing something wrong, you've blown the whole system, you're terrible, you're horrible, you're a failure. I mean, there is a giant train wreck that happens for us between those two. We know inherently why we should do something, but we're not doing it. And there's nothing wrong if you have those feelings or you have those experiences. There's nothing wrong if that happens to you every single month. That's a really natural thing. But your question is how to do this budgeting thing easy. And for each of us, easy is going to be a little bit different. But I think you do need to have some awareness over where your money is going. Think of it like an experiment, right? You're in the business of you. You have Damien business, that is you, and you are responsible for you. You're responsible for how you're spending your money and all of the different amazing goals that you have that you want to achieve. So understanding how much does it take on average every single month to be in the business of you? That's a really important number to know, because if you know that number, then any month where you get more money or you get a bonus or you get a tax return, refund, anything like that, you're going to be able then to allocate that money to different goals because you know that you've got the foundation of you covered. And so I say pick one or two categories every month that are kind of the silent killers, if you will, for most people's budgets. And that's eating out, subscriptions, and also auto pay things. So Uber, Amazon, Lyft, Grubhub, all of those sort of expenses that just sort of automatically somewhat lift out of your bank account. Each month, pick a different category and do a little digging. Do a little research. Be a detective. Look at your bank statement or whether you use an app and see, okay, how much money did I spend on that particular category last month? If you want to go a little bit further, maybe look back the previous month or maybe the month before that to just give yourself a little average. And then you look at that and you just make some sort of judgment like, wow, that is a lot of money I'm spending in that category. Or, that's not so bad. I'm doing pretty good in that category. But you have to have this moment of being honest with yourself. And I think the whole thing about budgeting is it's just a tool. It's like a GPS system to tell your money where to go. And the whole reason that you're doing this or that you would even go through any of this is so that you can actually achieve your goals. Otherwise, why do you necessarily care where your money goes? Flows in, flows out, who cares, right? But I'm pretty sure, Damien, that you've got stuff that you want to do. It may be big goals, they may be small goals, but you got to give your money direction. And that is what budgeting does. So whether it's actually a formal document Or it's just coming to it from this awareness point of knowing how much you're spending on average in different categories. And if for 1 month you go over in that category, maybe you pull back a little bit the next month, or maybe you make a little alteration. But again, it's all for the sake of those goals that you want to achieve. So I think just keeping a really healthy mindset about it is going to be an amazing starting point. I guess it doesn't surprise me, but yet I find it really interesting that there would be multiple checking and savings accounts, and that perhaps that means that people are actually really utilizing those to save money most efficiently.
Totally. And I think that, most of our early adopters are probably people that are already predisposed to being proactive around their finances. So they're setting up some sort of system. And part of that system is including a traditional federal credit union. Part of that is maybe an Upstart like Stash or whatever, or Chime.
Sure.
And that's how they're cobbling it together, because there's this, everyone's financial situation is unique. Everyone has different financial goals. So it's more natural for me to see that people are trying to put together these disparate parts and make them work well together to fit their needs, as opposed to a kind of one size fits all solution that manages all those different scenarios.
That actually makes me really happy to hear that. Okay, because it shows me that the technology and all of the different players that have come along to just service like one piece of maybe your financial plan is actually working to some degree. I love that. That's like such a great stat. Like, thanks so much for sharing that.
Of course. Yeah. And this is the stuff that gets us really excited, because we want to be right there helping you get your funds from A to B, and doing it programmatically. So then whatever system you want to have in place, it's your prerogative to set that up. And then that way, 70% of Americans say that their number one stressor is related to finances. So how can we dial that back and put more of your capital to work and take that stress load off you, so that you can focus on the other things, whether it's some crazy research project that you're doing that's really going to change things for a lot of people, or just your day-to-day life, to take the way so that get on with doing the things that you much rather be doing.
Yeah, and I would imagine you can go in right at any point and kind of change those different setup rules that you have in Astra if you want to change things around.
Totally. It's all customizable. You can change it on the fly. We give you notifications when things are about to happen, when they are happening, and then once your transfer is cleared. And for us, our vision is really going from, empowering you with smart tools that work now, where you say, keep no more than, let's say, $2,000 in my checking account. Everything over that, move it over into high yield savings. The key there is where it gets really interesting is, instead of it being just explicit, like a fixed number of $2,000 and everything over gets calculated and moved over, is where we're actually making predictions and being proactive and saying, hey, we noticed that you set this at $2,000. Based on your last 3 months spending and the balances you've kept, we think you can dial that down to $1,500, thereby saving you an additional $500 per month. That's the real kicker, where it becomes even more like a kind of self-driving car. Some people call it self-driving wallet or autonomous finance. I think that that's where it could be even more interesting, because you don't even realize that the rules you set up can be even optimized or tuned a little bit better.
And I think that's great, because you talked about, there's so many people who can't work with a financial planner, and not that a financial planner is in day to day managing your money, but they do help you figure out what is optimal amount in your bank account, what money should be going where and when. And so I think being able to have tools that are really intuitive that look into your spending patterns and say, wait a minute, like perhaps you could do this, or you could do this a little bit better, or whatever it may be, is really empowering. And I think that if we as humans can just lean in maybe a little bit and trust that these tools really do work to help us optimize our money, I think it's it's really amazing to me at what we might be able to, the goals we might be able to achieve with our finances that maybe we couldn't have done before these tools came around.
Totally, totally, 100%. And the an interesting stat that's kind of related to this is up until 2008, for 10 years, the whole of the U.S. banking population, which is 280 million Americans, we kept steady in our checking accounts about $400 billion in total. For about it was steady for 10 years. Since the financial crisis, the following 10 years, we've gone from $400 billion to $2.1 trillion. So there's $2.1 trillion sitting in checking accounts earning us nothing, right? So just think about what the delta there, $1.7 trillion that potentially could be put back into our pockets, our savings accounts, or, you know, investing into our businesses, whatever it is. I mean, just think about what that potential is for what it means for the GDP and at a micro level, each of us individually, to be able to like, just put more of that money to work.
That's amazing. I mean, that is really, I see it because people that I work with are hanging on more to cash, even when they're living really paycheck to paycheck and almost struggling a bit. There's still that feeling of, well, I don't want to let go of my cash, even if it's going in a savings account that is for me. But you're really right. I mean, that's just so fascinating that right now we're letting the banks essentially make money off of us. And why not use some of that money and have us be empowered to make more money for ourselves in turn?
Totally. And banks, in addition to liking your 0% APY checking account, they also like to have your deposits in savings products. It might not necessarily be the same bank, but you can see, you know, there are a lot of new offers for even higher yield. The Fed funds rate is going up. So there's an incentive on the other side of the coin for banks also to get those deposits. And that's what I think the reason why people, the psychology changed and our behavior changed 10 years ago because we're worried and stressed that something else is going to happen like that, where we need to have that cash on hand in a more immediate fashion. And the reason, I think, my answer to that is there aren't tools on the other side of it to help us actually facilitate that, right? If we knew we could get our money back in a day or even same day that we had held away, you know, squirreled away into savings, if we'd be less inclined to feel like we have to keep it in a checking account.
Yeah, you're right. Because I mean, if we move it from one bank to a different bank sometimes, and we want to move it back, sometimes it could take a couple of days before it comes back. And there's that feeling of panic of, oh no, what if I need that money and I don't catch it in time?
Yeah. And it's also kind of scary when, you know, like the standard ACH processing can be 3 to 4 business days and your money is not, in your bank that it left from, and it's not in your bank that it's going to yet. It's somewhere in flight. You know, like that's not a great feeling either.
Yeah, no, that one gives me the heebie-jeebies a bit when that happens. Well, I'd love to know a little bit about like what is your own money journey look like? Have there been any bumps in the roads that have taught you some valuable money lessons you can share?
Totally. Well, first, I think having run a small business before, then my number one factor that I had to deal with was lumpy income, both on the business side and then how it translated over to, you know, our personal, paycheck. So that volatility is, probably I'm having a little bit of like a flashback right now thinking about it,
but can do that.
But yeah, it just goes to show that things are dynamic month to month, right? So we need better tools to help manage that volatility.
Are there any great tips you have for other people out there who have lumpy income?
Well, you know, I'm biased, but I'd say apply some rules to it, right? So when I get paid, put 30% into high yield savings, so that I'm ready to pay Uncle Sam for my quarterly estimated taxes. And then in the intermediate, make sure that I'm tracking how much is in my checking account. So if I do have a short-term deficit from what's kind of more standard, I can move some of that high yield savings back temporarily and ensure that I do it, put it back then again when things even out for my finances. Most of that you can do with Astra, and we're working on making it even more fluid for situations like that.
I love that, because I think you're right. When you can be proactive and you can apply a few rules, I think I talk about this a lot on the podcast. Even if you can just once a week check in on what's going on with your money, just something small, a small act, I think it really does empower you. And I think a lot of us get hung up in, well, I don't have a lot of money, so I don't want to sit and stare at something I don't have a lot of. But those are exactly the moments when you should be applying rules and you should be doing these things and come at it from a mindset of empowering versus lack of.
Agreed. We had a user ask us a few months ago, hey, can you set it up so that instead of me getting push notifications for my daily balance notification on my checking account, I want it to be SMS. And we thought, well, I mean, how really is that different? They both come to your phone, whatever. And then we're like, okay, well, this is not actually that heavy of a lift for us to develop. So we did it. We turned it on and yeah, I started using it and our team started using it. We're like, okay, now I get it. So a push notification is ephemeral. It goes away. You get a lot of them. So you're probably clearing them out in batches on your phone versus SMS is persistent. And so if you set up either a weekly or a daily notification by SMS of what your balance is, you can actually scroll back in your history and see what it is. So like, you know, if it changed radically from day to day, and you're like, whoa, what was that? That's out of the ordinary. You know, maybe you had a fraudulent charge on your debit card or something. You never know. So that having that kind of, it's not a very technical timeline for your finances, but it's one that's, I've found it to be pretty remarkable how that little tweak to our system really affected how I was engaging with my daily finances. And I'm a total optimization geek with my money. So I'm already doing a ton of things like that, but that was actually a pretty significant improvement.
Wow. Yeah. That's just so fascinating. I mean, you wouldn't normally think that would make such a big difference, but you're right. It's just the way that you engage differently with these different notifications that can motivate you or make you just go, oh, that's just another something coming up on my phone. I'm just going to swipe it away and I'm not even going to worry about it. That's so fascinating.
Absolutely.
I love behavior and examining behavior and examining what motivates or doesn't motivate people for sure. Well, lastly, I'd love to know if you could leave us maybe with one tip or something you've learned or incorporated into Astra that we should keep top of mind to help us all reach our money goals. What would that be?
Well, I think for money goals, the key is giving yourself some sort of tangible aspect to how you're saving for that, whether it's with Astra or someone or somewhere else or your own system that you put in place. One of the things that we've set up is you can track at a per dollar level money that you're saving towards a specific goal. And just by having that timeline or a percentage complete graph gives you an indication of like where you are in the journey towards that specific goal. And being able to have as many of those goals as you want is important because frequently we're trying to save for a lot of different things. So I would just say, I guess, to recap what that means, having something that is specific and trackable as a part of your savings plan is significant. It changes the rate of success for you saving for that thing by far.
That is such a great tool and tip. I'm glad that you incorporated this. Well, this has been amazing, Gil. I love chatting with you. Tell the listeners where they can go to connect with Astra and to download the app.
Yeah. So if you want to try out Astra, you can go to astra.finance, ASTRA.finance. You can find us on Twitter at Astra_finance. And you can find me on Twitter too, at @Gil_Akos. Happy to chat with anyone about finances and how you'd like to use Astro.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free, and you'll make sure you never miss an episode of Millennial Money. You can also listen to all our episodes on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Pandora.